Elizabeth Elliot says, "I realize that I don't spend nearly enough time praising God. I think hymns are a wonderful help. So let me just make that tiny suggestion that you begin your day with thanking the Lord." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor, Keep a Quiet Heart, and Discipline the Glad Surrender. Helping you face your journey with joy today, here's your friend, Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, continuing my talk today on keeping a quiet heart. Yesterday, we talked about the difference that a quiet heart is going to make in your home, in your life, in your effect on your family. Your energies will be directed toward God and not toward yourself. I gave you a quotation from Martin Luther. He said, "God taught us to work and to watch, but never to be worried or anxious, and to commit all to Him and live in His serene tranquility with a quiet heart." Over the years, I've come across that expression, a quiet heart, in many of the old writers that have so deeply fed and instructed my spiritual life. And I began to realize I didn't have a very quiet heart. I couldn't characterize my heart in its normal state as being a quiet one. And so I began to study this matter and to pray that the Lord would give me a quiet heart. And so I have written a book called Keep a Quiet Heart. It has many different little short pieces in it. It's the sort of a book that you could give someone who likes to just have short things to read. And each chapter is complete in itself, so you don't have to read all the way through the book. You can pick it up anywhere and find something which I trust would be helpful toward your gaining a quiet heart. I gave some differences that a quiet heart will make. First of all, you begin to qualify as an instrument of God's peace. Secondly, you will be in a position to do more for your family if your heart is quiet. Thirdly, because your energies are directed toward God, you will not be so selfish. And fourthly, instead of frustration, you find acceptance. Now, the fifth thing that I want to mention is calm. There will be far more room in your life for prayer because you will make time for prayer. Your quiet heart will make of you a calmer person. I'm not by nature calm. It isn't in me. But the Lord does calm my troubled soul as He calms the troubled sea. You've heard me quote from a little devotional book called Daily Strength for Daily Needs, a book that was written by Mary Wilder Tylston about 100 years ago. And she quotes from someone named Annie Keary. This is what Annie Keary said, "I think I find most help in trying to look on all interruptions and hindrances to work that one has planned out for oneself as discipline. Trials sent by God to help one against getting selfish over one's work. Then one can feel that perhaps one's true work, one's work for God, consists in doing some trifling, haphazard thing that has been thrown into one's day. One's work for God consists in doing some trifling, haphazard thing that has been thrown into one's day." That really rang bells with me because it seems as though no matter how earnestly I may settle down to what is the most difficult work at my desk, it seems as though some trifling haphazard thing gets thrown into my day. Well, where does it come from? Annie Keary says, "It is not waste of time, as one is tempted to think. It is the most important part of the work of the day, the part one can best offer to God." I thought about that last sentence, and I thought, now why would it be the most important part of the day? Well, because it wasn't on my schedule. Because it was obviously something that was willed by God for my blessing, for my learning, for my sanctification. A very important part of my day. The things which are not on your agenda, which just happen. They're under God's control. And she goes on to say, after such a hindrance, do not rush after the planned work. Trust that the time to finish it will be given sometime, and keep a quiet heart about it. And now you know where I got the title of my book, Keep a Quiet Heart. That was very good advice for me. Don't rush after the planned work. It's my nature to just be determined that I have got to finish what I intended to finish today, and sometimes I would do it in a sloppy way just to get finished. Trust that the time to finish it will be given sometime. We ask him to give just what he knows we need. Every day when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we say, give us this day our daily bread. And I look upon that word bread as including a great deal more than physical food. I look upon it as including my time, the tasks, the interruptions, and the strength. All of those things are on God's platter, as it were, on the bread plate that he's handing to me. He measures out my time. He assigns my tasks. He allows the interruptions. Perhaps it's right to say he assigns those interruptions. And he certainly gives me the measure of strength that I need. So thank you, Annie Carey, and thank you, Mary Wilder Tileston. And you know that the things that you hear on this program are not original and they are not innovative. They come either from the Word of God or from somebody else who knows the Word of God better than I do. And I am so grateful that God has allowed me to learn from so many other people. It's such a privilege to pass these things on to you. Has he ever failed you? Let me ask you that question. Has God ever broken a promise? Has he ever failed you in any way? He never has failed me. Some of his promises have not worked out in the way I expected them to. But over the years, I can see that every one of them has been kept, often in a way that I didn't understand and I would not have chosen. I can't emphasize strongly enough the importance of using hymns in your life. Do you have a hymn book? Not just a song book with praise songs, but the old hymns will teach you theology painlessly. That's the way we learned them at home. We sang hymns every day in our home. Every morning after breakfast, we sang a hymn. And one of my favorite hymns is, If Thou But Suffer God to Guide Thee, and hope in him through all thy ways, he'll do thee good, whate'er betide thee, and bear thee through the evil days. Who trusts in God's unchanging love, builds on a rock that naught can move. Obey, thou restless heart, be still, and wait in cheerful hope content, to do whate'er his blessed will, his all-consuming love, hath sent. God never yet forsook in need the soul that trusted him indeed. Sing, pray, and swerve not from his ways. There's a good little thumbnail sketch of one way to keep a quiet heart. Sing. I think Satan hates Christian music. He can't stand it when a Christian sings and makes melody in his heart to the Lord. And so he's going to persuade you in every way that he can that it's an awful waste of time. But this hymn goes on to say, sing, pray, and swerve not from his ways, but do thine own part faithfully. Trust his rich promises of grace. So shall they be fulfilled in thee, who trusts in God's unchanging love, builds on a rock that naught can move. I told the story on Monday about my little grandsons going through the car wash with us. The lesson from that story was that this little boy didn't know what was going on. He didn't understand the loud roar of the water and the banging of the brushes against the windows of the car. and his father hadn't explained things to him. This little boy knew only one thing. He knew his father, and he trusted him. And although he was afraid, he didn't cry. Do you know your Heavenly Father? Does your eye turn immediately to His face when something goes wrong in your life? When something scares you? Your heart is filled with fear or anxiety or worry? Do you remember the time when Jesus was in the boat with the disciples and there was a great wind that came up and the boat was almost swamped? Now, we can't be too hard on those disciples because they were fearful and they were afraid. But surely the next wave was going to send them to the bottom of the sea. And Jesus was asleep on a pillow. Wonderful story. And Jesus, when they woke him and said, "Don't you even care that we're perishing?" And Jesus said, "Why is it that you have no faith? Why are you so fearful?" And he got up and he spoke to the wind and the waves. And the wind and the waves died down. Amy Carmichael wrote, "Hold us in quiet through the age-long minute while thou art silent and the wind is shrill. Can the boat sink while thou, dear Lord, art in it? Can the heart faint that waiteth on thy will?" And I remember a little song that we learned back during World War II. I was in high school, and a missionary told us about a song that some Chinese refugees had written when they had to travel hundreds of miles fleeing from their country. And this is what they sang as they marched. "I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid. I will look upward and travel onward and not be afraid." May God help you to keep a quiet heart.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.